changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I've spoken on this topic several times before, and I want to revisit it, because what happens is I revisit things in my own mind. I revisit experiences. I have things pop up. I see connections between things. And the importance of behavioral economics cannot be overstated. And before I even get into behavioral economics, I know these sound like heady terms, but you're really going to understand, and you're going to dig how they connect, right? So let's start with hedonic adaptation, hedonic, sensorial, hedonism. When you think about hedonism, it's all about the flesh. It's all about feelings. It's all about, you know. Now, whenever something is new, there is, whether it's a relationship or a pizza or a job, there is hedonic adaptation. You don't see people walking around their jobs like they do on the first day. You know, on the first day, they're like, I got this job. I'm so excited. After about a month or so, they're just looking, they're just themselves. That is hedonic adaptation. It also means that the first piece of pizza when you're hungry is always going to taste better than the last. We adapt hedonically to anything we experience. Mark Manson, I think is his name, wrote a book, and he talks about that the relationship you long for having is the relationship you get, and then you deal with the relationship and the difficulties of being in a relationship with someone, because relationships all bring those types of things. We adapt hedonically to whatever we have. Now, that's, we just get used to it. You know what I mean. We take it another way. Yes, we take it for granted. We begin to take for granted what we have. We take for granted. Now, behavioral economics says that we value something we lose more than we value something we gain. This is why a breakup is so much more painful than starting a new relationship is exciting. If you were to put the two on a range, the two, even though they're very different emotions, the emotional impact is stronger in the loss than it is in the gain. Same is true in losing a pet or anything. My car would be so much more valuable to me. I hate to say this. I don't want to affirm this. I'm not, but I'm giving this as an example only. It's illustrative. My car would be so much more valuable to me if someone stole it. Right now, I'm looking at my car, and I've had my car for 18 years. And 18, that's not right. I always say that. That's not true. It's 2007, so it must be, what, 13 years. I love my car for a number of reasons, and I'm ready to get a new car. And so part of me starts to go into I am in hedonic adaptation when it comes to my car. It's just my car. There's my car. You know, it's not, there's my car, when you get that new car thing, right? And if someone were to steal my car, then all of a sudden I would go back to that pre-hedonic adaptation state, to that state of being in, this is my car, if someone steals it. We experience loss emotionally greater than we experience gain. Why do I bring all this up? Because it's still the month of November. We're not quite out of the month of November yet. And November is the month of gratitude. The way out of hedonic adaptation, the way to come back and to appreciate, is to actually value and be grateful for what you have. I talk about my little Ted E-Bear all the time. sweetest, cutest. Okay, I know. Y'all have dogs, and of course, I hope you feel your dog is sweeter and cuter. And this morning, a bird got kind of caught in the corridor and couldn't figure its way out. Teddy won't chase it, so I picked him up, and we walked and sort of guided the bird to fly out. And then afterwards, he did what he always does. He lifts his head back. It's so cute like this. And then he snuggles his head into my chest. And it occurred to me that, because he'll hold on, he'll wrap his paws around my neck and do that. And he's doing that, I think, to hear my heartbeat, to feel comfortable with that, that maybe that's what he felt like with his mother and his, I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is that for me, if I were to lose Teddy, oh my God, all of a sudden, that's just my dog, would go away. And the way to experience loss less painfully and to experience less hedonic adaptation is to appreciate in the moment what you have as it is. Because all things are transitory. All things are transitory. When I was the retreat director at Unity Village, Missouri, one time the church there brought in some Buddhist monks and they spent days creating a mandala. And that's where they create sort of a squarish, circularish puzzle maze looking thing out of a variety of colors of sand. It's collaborative because you've got several people working on it. And once it's done, it's celebrated because it is a unique expression of what this however many monks came up with in that moment using whatever color sands they chose to pick up. And they don't know exactly how to start it, and they don't know when it's finished, but when it's done, they know. And then there's a lot of prayer and a lot of chanting and a lot of appreciation for that exactly as it is. And in their hearts, they know that they've created something beautiful and unique. And then what do? They blow the sand away. We create along with others what is our current reality. When we want something and we get it, we almost immediately begin to take it for granted. Now, when I say that, there's probably a part of you that judges yourself for that. You shouldn't. I'm speaking neutrally. I'm just telling you what is, is. And the way to lose that hedonic adaptation, the way to continue to appreciate something as if you lost it, him, her, whatever, is to just be grateful for having it now. Just to be grateful for having it now. To remind yourself of what it is you are grateful about, whatever it is. Today I get to do some things work-wise. I get to refile a report with the state of Missouri because I filed the wrong report. It was my mistake. They told me which one to file, I think, and I filed the wrong one. And so I get to do things like that, I got a handful of those little things today. And are those my favorite kinds of things? I would probably call those eye rollers. Oh, man. Not exactly like sitting down to do a jump start, which is invigorating and exciting. And at the same time, I can be grateful that I get to do this because it means that it summarizes all that I have right now in this moment as my creative work, which goes through a business, et cetera, et cetera. And that business needs to be maintained, just like we all are. Being grateful for what is, rather than to try and project onto what it is we want, and to understand, I think here's the best way of thinking about it. I've been divorced several times, as you know. And after my first divorce, someone said to me, I read it in a book, you're not grieving what you've lived. You're grieving the future you thought you might have together. All right. That is that behavioral economics. That is somehow overriding your hedonic adaptation and thinking that you wouldn't continue to struggle and have difficulties in the future, and somehow idealizing, and then at the same time, grieving it, grieving what you thought, which was imaginary anyway. So it all comes down to being present to what is and being grateful to what is. Remember, the word positive, that is that which is present. The word negative is that which is absent. When you are focusing on what is in your life, you are being a positive person. It's just that simple. When you're being a negative person, you're focusing on what's missing. And it starts with yourself. It's hard. Man, do I work on this one. Accepting myself, even on the pickleball court. I was thinking about that this morning. I watch, you know, other pickleball players play, people who are so much better than me, right? And we all do this same thing. We'll mess up a shot, put our hands on our hips, and look up at the sky as if we're mad at God and go, like this, and we're angry at ourselves. The faster we can get through that, or if we can just glide through that or not even experience that, the better we'll get. In fact, what they've discovered is that the greatest golfers in the world, when they hit a bad shot, they immediately replay the shot. They close their eyes and replay the shot in their mind, seeing and feeling themselves hitting it exactly where they wanted. That's it. Not going into any of the So we want to start by being positive with ourselves. Do I have stuff I roll about my eyes about myself? Oh, yes. And you probably should too. And you notice them a lot more than other people do. If you were gone, you'd miss you. That's behavioral economics right there. So appreciate what you currently have. Your ego's always going to tell you it's not enough. Your ego's always going to try and push you forward, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Today, be present and grateful for what you have. I never closed the loop on my Teddy story earlier, and I'll close with that. And that is that as he's hugging me, my thought was, I need, not want, but I need to put him down so that I can go make my breakfast and I can do this. And then I thought, if somehow Teddy were gone, what would I want more than anything? One more of those little teddy bear hugs. And so I just stood there this morning for an additional 90 seconds, a 90 seconds that I'm going to remember throughout the rest of the day. We overcome that valuing of lack more than we value gain by being grateful for what we have. And I appreciate you all for joining me every day to share what you're grateful for. And for you carrying this positive ideas out into the world.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complain-free world, no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complain-free world. No more, no more.